Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a one-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We welcome you to hour number two live right here on this Tuesday morning on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. A lot to unpack here in our second hour. It is Combine Week in Indianapolis. We'll look at the brightest prospects and all the NFL news and notes that you need, because it's not just guys in shorts working out and running fast and lifting heavy weights on a football field in Indy. It is also the time for these prospects to meet with teams around the NFL. It's also a time for basically everybody involved with the National Football League to submerge on Indy, and we get some headlines, we get some sound bites, we get a lot of NFL news that we have this week in Indianapolis. A lot to unpack here. Then later on in this second hour, we'll look at what the odds are telling us about the NCAA men's tournament, fewer than 3 weeks away from Selection Sunday. Who is in? Who is out? Have you matched preseason expectation? What does it mean for the national championship odds? All of that and plenty more DRS here in hour number two.
Absolutely. We got a lot to go over, a lot of those prospects to look at. And also, it's just still funny to me. Like, maybe in the 1940s, the combine was important because you get stuff from Telegram from East Coast to West Coast. You guys shows up and they're like, wow, didn't know you were this big. Like, we have all the information. Like, these guys showing up in Indy and having to do like the bench press and the three cone drill and do all this stuff. That's how the Philadelphia Eagles wound up with Jalen Reagor as opposed to Justin Jefferson a few years ago. Now, bygones be bygones. The Eagles won some Super Bowls and we're all fine and good. But don't confuse yourself. Pop on the tape. It's simple. Put less stock in the combine. It's very easy, people. It really is.
Maybe so, DRS. We'll still put some stock in the combine because they meet with everybody in Indianapolis. It still does mean something, much to DRS's chagrin. And it could still impact your draft status, move you up a board or down a board as a part of the big picture evaluation for these prospects in Indianapolis. So as we talk about the quarterback class here in 2025, it should be noted that last year's class in 2024, the most ever QBs taken in the opening round in the modern draft era, dating back to 1994, when the NFL firmly became a seven-round NFL draft. We saw six guys go in the opening round, all six in the top 12, a historic quarterback class. Not necessarily going to be the case as of this year. We know two guys that are probably going to go in the opening round, if not the top 10 or top 5. That would be Cam Ward, the odds-on favorite at this moment, at minus 140 to be the first overall selection, and Shador Sanders. Shador Sanders not going to work out nor throw at the combine. Cam Ward still perhaps up in the air. I would say we probably lean with the idea that he will not and wait until Miami's pro day. Jalen Milroe will throw. Jackson Dart will throw. Riley Leonard will throw as well. And as of this morning, Quinn Ewers announcing he will throw as well. The guys we mentioned will throw, Donnie, I think trying to make a statement and move up those draft boards, they are ready to be a quarterback at this next level.
Exactly. And it just shows the competitive side of them, which not really anything to lose. Like, maybe you can impress one of those idiot scouts. It's like, hey, man, Jackson Dart looked awesome throwing with his shorts on today. Maybe we should move him up around here. Like, don't fall into that. But you understand what's happening here and business decisions are being made. Why should Shedeur Sanders throw? He's supposed to be a first round pick. He can only do himself damage. Cam Ward, TBD. I'll give you a hint. He's not throwing at the combine because it doesn't make sense. If you are the number one player that's going to be taken off the board, you should just run and hide and go lock yourself in a basement and come out on the draft when you're the number one overall pick, so you can't do any damage to your stock at this point. That's the easy way to do it. Like, just put it in simple terms. Like, hey, you know what? My high school basketball team is having a free throw competition. I made my last free throw, and they go, you can shoot one more. If you miss it, you lose the competition. If you don't shoot it at all, you win the competition. Hey, let me shoot it and brick it. I lost. No, nobody would do that. Just use your head right now. Sit it out. And that's what the smart players are doing.
Exactly, Donnie. Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders don't have anything to prove in arm strength, how they throw the football, how they hit receivers on air and in space. Jalen Milroe, who was looked at as a freak athlete, but of course had some questions with his accuracy and overall QB play this past season at Alabama, does. Jackson Dart trying to prove perhaps he belongs with a first round consideration by his draft name. Riley Leonard, again, more of a bulldozer than thought of as a pure passer, trying to change that as well. And Quinn Ewers, who probably entered this football season, both collegiately and in the NFL, thought of as a first-round talent at the QB spot, now trying to change that narrative around him. But it is not a surprise, I would say, any longer at this stage, that the best of the best are deciding not to work out, not to throw in Indianapolis. We have seen it often in the last half decade at the quarterback spot. And Donnie, at a pro day, although the combine workouts are kind of scripted, you know what is ahead of you as well. But at a pro day, you can script every single throw, every single route. You know exactly what you need when and where. So it looks great, which is basically all you are trying to do. The upside of a 70-yard bomb makes some headlines, and it will be social media conversation should NFL front offices and scouting departments be like, oh, wow. Now this guy looks awesome. We have seen him be awful in college, but now that he can throw a ball 75 yards in the air on air, that would be something? Obviously not, but it's a part of the draft evaluating process, trying to change that narrative around your name. We're talking a lot about the combine. There's a lot also that goes on this week outside of just working out. You get to meet with teams. And Donnie, we saw it when the Giants had Hard Knocks, the off-season edition last year. Brian Daboll, Joe Shane, the rest of the management team there for the G-Men, meeting with top prospects, meeting with Jaden Daniels, meeting with Caleb Williams at the whiteboard and asking them to diagnose plays and coverages and all that. And Jaden Daniels had a great answer to when Brian Daboll said, what would you do against cover one here? And Jaden Daniels said, throw a touchdown. It's that kind of moxie that teams want to see. That's also a part of the combine conversations this week in Indy.
Yeah, and it just goes to show you, like the Giants, where Dable's like, man, I never even expected that question because we have horrible quarterbacks, a horrible coaching staff, and a horrible owner. I'm amazed that the quarterback actually said throw a touchdown pass at this point. So you will get those hot sound bites, but more importantly, it's basically for the NFL to descend on one city. You can sort of work out those, hey, my player's disgruntled here. How about you take it there? What's it going to take? What are the contract situations looking up? So it's almost like one of those where you hear about like the owner's meeting. Hey, the owner's meeting. Why is that a big deal? A lot of deals do go down because everybody is in one place at one time. Much easier to talk face-to-face, have a dinner, have a cocktail, and close the deal and get back to business. So we are starved for NFL action, even though the Super Bowl just ended. And this is that first glimpse, like, hey, the teams are there. Who's going to start? Are there going to be trade rumors at this point? So I can understand the start of the NFL news cycle getting kicked off right away this week.
Honestly, one of the better parts is that news cycle. Everybody there, the league's focus on Indianapolis, and we'll debate something coming up about a certain brotherly shove or a tush-push from behind, and maybe it stays being numbered in the NFL. Just should share that the Heisman runner-up Boise State running back Ashton Gentry, after a record-setting season, has elected to participate only in medical evals and team interviews at the 2025 NFL Scouting Combine. Will take part in on-field drills at Boise State's Pro Day at a later date. It is not as usual, perhaps, Donnie, for running backs to skip out on the workouts in Indy. But again, Ashton Gentry doesn't have much to prove of his acumen at the running back spot.
No, he doesn't. Like, and imagine this, like he runs the 40 and it's not as fast as you thought it would be, like, well, psh, guy can't play. But then you pop the tape on and realize he's the best running back in football by a wide margin. But you didn't like him in shorts and a T-shirt in the offseason running a 4.6 as opposed to a 4.5. That's how crazy it is. I'm glad he's not working out, because this guy, the minute he hits the ground running in the NFL, is going to be a stud. Yeah. So why cost yourself money by running a slow three cone drill? Stop the madness, man.
And Donnie has always been a fan of Ashton Gentry and the decision-making of the Boise State football program and everything that has gone around Gentry for sure. Abdul Carter not working out as well, projected to be a top three, top five pick, the outstanding game wrecker and edge rusher out of Penn State. We'll talk plenty more about the Combine this week in Indianapolis and all those notes and news around the NFL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. It is Combine Week in Indianapolis, which means there is a lot to break down. News and notes around the NFL, not just with the best prospects looking to make that leap to the next level. Donnie, something we discussed yesterday that seemed like some rumors, maybe some hot gossip, some speculation earlier in the offseason that now might have some legs or some footing, an apparent disconnect between the LA Rams in Matthew Stafford, which doesn't seem to make a ton of sense to you nor I in terms of the football logistics behind it. But some further reporting yesterday from NFL Network / Fox Sports is Peter Schrager's, that he said that quarterback Matthew Stafford wants to be paid at least $50 million per year, and that could be the issue. The Rams not wanting to cough up that much for a quarterback that probably does not have many more years left in the NFL at the age of 37. The question to that graphic, pay the man? What do you say, Donnie?
You should pay the man, specifically if you are the Rams at this point. You have a rich owner that can afford those signing bonuses and spread it out. And also, understand what we're looking at, too, because we're not privy to the negotiations between the Rams and Matthew Stafford. Is this, I want 5 years at $250 million? Or is this like, you know what, why don't we go year to year here? Give me a 2 or 3 year contract here. We can spread out some of the bonus here. But I want to average $50 million like a dozen other quarterbacks actually have out here. That's what makes some sense. But for me, there is a disconnect, and sometimes it is a healthy organization doing this. And look, we want to pay you. We just don't know if anybody else would pay you $50 million. So we're not going to pay you $50 million. And it always goes back to the Giants, where they should have that conversation with Daniel Jones. Danny, guy, we love you. We just don't think you're worth that money. Go out and find it. Bring it back to us. Instead, the Giants are like, Danny, we love you. We don't even think you're worth $25 million. How about $50 million or $40 million? That's what the Giants said. That's reversal here. But if you are the Rams, are we saying, like, it's better to get rid of Matthew Stafford and trade him because he wants $50 million, but then we'll take Darnold at $35 million and won't have as good a quarterback? Like, that's what I'm trying to focus here. And I'm not saying that last year, like, hey, you can't give up on Stafford. 50 touchdown passes and 5 interceptions. He's worth every penny. You look at his statistics on the year as the graphic pops up. 3,700 yards, 20 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. That sounds like a $20 million a year quarterback, not 50. But we understand with the prognosis of the Rams on the come up here, and he's part of that reason with the young wide receivers, the young running back, and the young defense. I don't want to upset the apple cart here. I would pay him, but I understand the due diligence that they're saying, hey, look, if you think you're worth 50 and 50 is actually the real number, we'll pay you that. But if that number comes in at 35, we'll pay you that as well. And you need to be happy with that.
And what's really interesting, DRS, when we've seen this now play out, the idea that the Rams were letting Stafford's representation gauge his value around the NFL. If Matthew Stafford is hoping to get that, you would need to trade for him first to get him from the Rams and then add to the extension. Matthew Stafford is getting paid on average right now $40 million per year. But as we have seen, quarterback prices, salaries at large have been inflated to a very, very nth degree around the NFL. Most guys at the quarterback position are making $50-plus million a year if they have done said extension in the last two seasons. But 37 years old, 16 seasons in the NFL, how much do you want to invest up front? Because that's really what you're doing for Matthew Stafford. The Rams have always been shrewd in that consideration. Again, it would seem to make the most sense, right? Just to have Matthew Stafford back. Yeah, maybe Cooper Kupp is on the move, and that might not make Matthew Stafford personally all that happy. But Puka Nacua is still there. Once the offensive line got healthy, they were stout. The defense on the other side, young and improving week over week, game over game, and now certainly season over season. This is a Rams team that in the 4 years Matthew Stafford has been in Los Angeles, they have made the playoffs three times. They have won the division a few times. They have won a Lombardi trophy in that span as well. You would think, let's run it back, boys, for as long as Stafford is here. But something's a little bit amiss.
Something is a little bit amiss. And also understand this, like Matthew Stafford isn't saying like, hey, you know what? I was Brock Purdy my whole career. Made like $1 million a year. It's my final chance to cash in my late 30s. This guy's been making bank since the minute he walked into the NFL in like 08, 09, whatever year that was. And also, if it really is about the money, which is crazy, you can't fault, look, we're professionals because you want to earn money and at the highest price point you can. That technically is your job. But are we saying like Matthew Stafford, let's just say the Giants, who again, just a bungle of an organization, would say like, we'll give you a first round pick, which would be top five, and we want to pay Stafford $55 million. Like, cool, I'll go there. You get your brains beat in for 3 years, then you retire, but you do have your money. Or do you go with an organization like Sean McVay, maybe the best play caller in the NFL, in a dome with nice weather on the West Coast, with a team that has a chance to win something, and you take $10 million less? That shows you a lot about a player. Some are just pure mercenaries, while others say, you know what? There's a happy balance between me just being happy where I am, making a ton of money, and playing good football.
Yeah, absolutely, Donnie. And you would think at this stage, Matthew Stafford is that. We shall see. Plenty of other updates around the NFL in terms of Jonathan Allen, pass rusher this year. Could he be on the move as well from the Washington Commanders? They have had trade conversations centered around their Pro Bowl defensive lineman. He was key this year for a Commanders defense under first-year head coach Dan Quinn. We learned from Stephen Jones yesterday, of course, the co-GM, if you will, in Dallas, Jerry's son, that the Cowboys are going to be, quote, selectively aggressive this offseason. They were too selective last year in the offseason. I don't trust the Cowboys to make the shrewd and correct moves this offseason at all.
And by the way, Jonathan Allen for the Washington Commanders here, back-to-back brutal seasons, making a lot of money. No surprise that he's quote-unquote on the trading block here. But I don't understand anything that the Cowboys are doing. They, like, all the money they have and how much that franchise is worth, the way they run it, so business non-savvy, is incredible. Like, hey, do you want to sign Micah Parsons? Well, let me spit word salad for 30 seconds. They have no idea. Instead of saying, Micah's awesome. We love him. We want him back. And everybody's like, okay, that makes sense here. Why do the Cowboys do everything the hard way at this point by being cryptic about everything? And then that cryptic, you know, sayings that they have are all wrong all the time. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is wild how they go about their process and what exactly they are doing and what exactly is the process. You would think for the Cowboys this offseason, priority, fill out the defense, make sure it looks a ton better, and probably get somebody in the running back room to take some of the burden off Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb. But let me tell you, the tab is up on Micah Parsons. You got to pay him this offseason, Jerry, and maybe don't wait until late August. Is your push going to be banned? Talk next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line on Sports Grid. Combine week, always a fun time around the NFL. And not just because of the workouts and the prospects and the interviews, but everybody around the NFL heads to Indianapolis. So you start to get some news that has trickled out early in the offseason. Frankly, even in the offseason early on, the NFL news and notes do not stop. But how about this yesterday? At first, DRS, it was reported an unidentified NFL organization had come forward to the Rules Committee and said, it's time. to get rid of the tush push. It is time to ban the brotherly shove. But then, as the day went on, we learned that unnamed NFL organization from Diana Russini of The Athletic and only The Athletic was the Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay Packers are the team that submitted a proposal to the NFL's competition committee to ban the tush push, per sources. Donnie, let's start with the tush push itself. Yeah. Something that obviously has been a tremendous benefit for your favorite team, the two-time Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. Let's start with the play itself. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, this offseason, do you think it will be banned?
No, I don't. I don't. And we'll start here with this because it's available to every team. Well, let's go back in the history of like sports here, right? Where it was like, hey, Will Chamberlain's so dominant, he can dunk, take away the dunk. It's like, well, we can't really do that again in case somebody is good. Let's go to Steph Curry. Can you imagine if the NBA, like the Sixers, my Sixers go, let's take the three-point shot out because Steph is so good at it. Even though we can shoot it, he's just really good at it. We have to take it away because it's an unfair advantage. It's not as if the Philadelphia Eagles are like, okay, on this play, we won the grandfathered in lottery where we have 16 players that are available when you only have 11 and there's nothing you can do about it. Okay, we have to take that away. Like, no, every team can do this. Don't get mad at the Eagles because they draft nasty offensive lines with the absolute best offensive line coach and a quarterback that can squat 1,000 pounds with a running back who could squat 1,000 pounds pushing behind him. Why don't you go out in the draft and get yourself a quarterback that can do that, an offensive line that can do that, a running back that can push here and use it to your advantage? And the reason I don't think it's going to be banned is sometimes the NFL likes to play that card of we have to have the injuries taken out of the game. Nobody gets injured on that play. Have you ever seen a massive injury on the quarterback sneak here for yourself from a defensive lineman or a linebacker, right, or defensive back? No, because it currently doesn't happen. But also understand this. The NFL loves offense, Ben. This is one of the best things for offense. You might get this doesn't make sense, but understand this. On the 45-yard line, 15 years ago, 4th-and-1, everybody's punting. Now everybody's going for it. Why? Because you have plays like the quarterback sneak. If you have an athletic quarterback that can convert, keep the football, put more points on the board as opposed to a punt. If it's a play that's ready available to every single team in this league, why would it be banned?
It is readily available, but nobody does it nearly as well as the Eagles. We saw the Bills try countless times in the AFC Championship game against the Chiefs, but it just did not work out.
The Bills should have banned it.
Yeah, they should have banned it.
If the Bills came out and said, you know what, we couldn't do anything in the playoffs, like we just, this is ridiculous, we're banning it ourselves. Now, that I would have bought into that. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, there's a recipe for why this works. You've had Jason Kelce lead the way, and now Cam Jurgens. You have a great Philadelphia offensive line. Stoutland University each and every year. You also have a quarterback in Jalen Hurts. I think we forget, although we brought it up, basically every time the brotherly shove started to happen, that can squat 650 pounds. He and Saquon in the gym together putting up the same weight on the squat rack. They do things differently. The Eagles themselves might look to ban it. Cam Jurgens might incognito go to the NFL competition committee and try to slide in the rule because they hate it, and yet it is so effective, they have to keep doing it. It is not a fun play. It is a rugby scrum, but does it have a stain on National Football League competition? Is it an affront to the legislation that we have seen? No. So although the Green Bay Packers are trying to lead this push to ban the tush push, I don't actually think it is going to be banned, DRS, this offseason or anytime soon.
I don't think so either. I really don't. And again, it's available to everyone how you want to execute it here. If you don't want your quarterback getting banged up, then you shouldn't do it. But the Eagles have taken it to the next level. And also, the thing with the Eagles, too, which makes it so maddening sometimes is, you're right, well, they use it so much, but it's so effective. Why would you not do it? And also, understanding the script of the Eagles offense. Like, you get Saquon Barkley, man, he probably scored an extra 10-plus touchdowns if you just gave him the football on the goal line, which is what most teams do with their running backs. But the fact is, you know you can't stop it. And it's almost like, we know how good it works, but it's not that we care about Jalen Hurts scoring rushing touchdowns. It's psychological. Like, when we line this up and we just move that pile 3 yards forward and score touchdowns, that takes its toll on the defense. Like, we just can't stop this thing, and the effort gets a little bit less as the quarters move on.
I will always be in favor of it because it was one of the most astute handicaps ever had. Shorter than a yard and a half. Shortest touchdown in the Super Bowl. More early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. It is a Tuesday, always a huge night in college basketball. But we're now just about 2.5 weeks shy of Selection Sunday. This upcoming weekend, on Sunday, it will be the month of March. In fact, March 2nd. We will have conference tournaments at the mid-major level beginning next week. All week long, daytime basketball and those teams trying to earn those automatic bids to the NCAA tournament. We've got about 2 weeks remaining, a little bit less than that, in the high major level of this regular season before conference tourney action for the big boys, trying to get those automatic bids. But of course, now here down the home stretch of the regular season, trying to earn those regular season crowns. In the final half hour of this second hour, we look at where the movement is right now for the NCAA tournament, for the Big Dance making a run through the madness and cutting down the nets in early April. And some of the teams we expected to be in the hunt before the year got underway and where things are right now. Donnie, we shared it earlier. Kansas on the road last night, winning by 7, 71-64 in Boulder. But the day did not start in the win column for KU. Out of the AP Top 25 for the first time since February of 2021, snapping an 80-week streak in the AP poll. Just the second time in 313 weeks dating back to January of 2009 that Kansas has been left out of the AP Top 25. And that's not just this year. Kansas, who was the preseason number one team entering this season, is no longer ranked. UConn, who was the preseason number three team, not in the top 25, nor is Gonzaga, preseason number six, Baylor, preseason number eight, UNC, preseason number nine. DRS, half of the preseason AP top 10 entering this 2024-25 men's college basketball season are now out of the AP poll. Just the fourth time in the last 55 years that has ever been the case. A wild season in college basketball, and as we always share, the madness does not wait until March.
No, it doesn't. And it also goes into that whole flow of when you open the season, do we actually need rankings? Well, rankings are there to promote the sport. And hey, if you are CBS, NBC, Fox, whoever, you're promoting a December basketball game, it's nice to put number one Duke next to number three Kansas, because it's going to show more than, hey, Kansas Duke is playing. Like, yeah, people tune in. But when you see the numbers in front of them, it does make a difference. But understand this. Get used to this, what's going on right now, because I don't care if it's once in every 50 years, it's going to happen quite a bit, because now with the evolution of we can transfer in and out, Ben, it used to be like, you understand that Bobby Hurley and Christian Leighton are coming back along with Grant Hill for three straight years. You know exactly how good that basketball team is based on what they did before. Heck, even the Fab Five coming back for their freshman and sophomore seasons. Hey, we expect expectations, but these teams are changing every single year. Multiple starters, multiple bench players come and go. We're like, yeah, I think Kansas is going to be good with who they have, but this team has never played each other or played with each other. How is that going to spread out through the first at least parts of the season here? That's what the trouble is going to be. So Kansas, UConn, Gonzaga, Baylor, UNC, you're looking at blue blood type programs here that should be ranked in the top 20 every year, but you just don't know anymore because you're not growing up per se with these teams. Like, hey, three straight years, they've been really good returning all their starters. Yes, they should be number two, and it will be a shock if they got knocked out of the top 25. But nowadays, Ben, everything's changing in college basketball.
Yeah, everything is changing in college hoops. And part of that preseason prognosis is, what do you return? What have you added? What have you brought in through the transfer portal? It is why Kansas was the number one team in the preseason poll, despite being that entering last year and really stumbling based on expectation. North Carolina, DRS, 96-85 win for UNC last night on the road in Tallahassee. The Tar Heels cover as a 3.5-point road favorite. A bet I made felt like a very strong handicap, over 155.5, expecting some pace, and we got that. Big win for North Carolina, who has won four consecutive games. But Florida State, not exactly a stellar season in Tallahassee for the Seminoles, so only a quad two win. Why do I highlight that? UNC just 1-10 currently in quad one games this season as they try to be on the right side of the bubble. We will talk some bubble odds in just a moment. Looking at the national championship prices for these teams, DRS, Kansas, 12-1 entering the year, now 65-1. 11-1 for UConn, 11-2-1 for UConn. Third best price, trying to win a third consecutive national championship, now 80-1. Gonzaga is still a 20-win team, despite not being in the AP top 25. Got beat at home in Spokane by St. Mary's over the weekend. The Gaels clinching the WCC regular season crown for a second consecutive year. Baylor 30-1 before the year, now 100-1. And as you see with the prices on the heels, some danger perhaps of missing the big dance for the second time in the last 4 years. Donnie, is there any team on that board that, despite at least right now faltering based on preseason expectation, you think it is worth sprinkling on to make a run in the madness?
Probably the 80-1, though, on UConn, because at least you can say, Ben, like, the pedigree is there. The coach has been through trials and tribulations. We're used to playing in March Madness and having a lot of success. But also understand the fact is going for three straight in college is absolutely ridiculous in this day and age. You are going to have some fallout, particularly with all the superstars that have left that program over the past 2 years. But that's probably the one that I would look forward to and say, if there's anybody that can maximize the talent in March and really get the ear of their players, it's probably going to be Hurley for UConn.
Yeah, I would agree, right? You have that postseason pedigree. You understand what it takes to win a national championship. Yes, a lot of the roster looks different than the two-time reigning champs that we have seen, but a lot of the guys are also there as well. Alex Caravan, their leader, understands what it takes, and you still have Dan Hurley, who likes to remind people that he might be the best effing coach in this sport. That would be the one I would look at. I would stay away from Kansas at this moment. Far too many questions. Gonzaga could be a dangerous eight seed. We shall see. And it will be important, Donnie, to see those opening round matchups for these teams like KU, like UConn, like Gonzaga. Baylor going to make the tournament more than likely as well. UNC a little bit in danger, but probably trying to battle for that bubble spot at this moment. In fact, entering yesterday, UNC was favored to miss the NCAA tournament at -225. Plus 168 to make a win yesterday they had to have against FSU. But really, the thing that is holding the Heels back is that one quad one victory. So, Donnie, as we keep it going, looking at the futures focus to what we see all around college basketball, some of these odds available yesterday after the end of the weekend that now already into midweek slates are not there yet. But as we look at the best of the best in college hoops, Auburn remains that number one team in the country in the AP Top 25 released yesterday. Seventh consecutive week, Auburn tops the charts. Duke now at number two, actually replacing Florida after that 43-point win over Illinois inside MSG on Saturday night. But the Gators still there, 24-3, winners of six straight. Houston, second consecutive Big 12 crown, one of the best teams in the country, 24-4. Tennessee, 22-5, same number for Alabama. Donnie, the odds to be a number one seed entering yesterday. Auburn and Duke did not have prices listed. Why? Because more than likely, they will be on that one line. Again, I would be shocked if Auburn is not just a one seed, but the number one overall seed. Florida was -240. Houston was -210. Those were the teams in minus money. Alabama just on the outside at +130.
You probably would look at that without looking at the schedule and say, hey, man, Alabama, you know, down on the list there in the SEC, they come up with a couple big victories. They can move forward. Now, they have a chance to go all in or all out on that one seed. You see the close for them? Top 25, Mississippi State. Top 5, Tennessee. Top 3, Florida. Number 1 overall, Auburn, to end the season.
Yeah.
So if Alabama runs the table, yes, they're going to be a 1. But my goodness, there's a legitimate chance that they don't win a single game down the stretch and say goodbye to that. So the challenge of the SEC, rare in their heads. Boy, you prove it or you go home. And Alabama, I don't think there's a tougher close to the schedule that you can find. And that even includes 1, 15, 17, 24, 5, 3, and 1 is their game schedule. Woo!
More tourney talk up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. We continue to let the odds drive the conversation for the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament and all that we have available down the home stretch of this 2.5 week final run of the regular season. Donnie, we're talking the one line right now. Thanks to Joe Lunardi, ESPN's bracketologist, for breaking things down for us bright and early on this Tuesday. What I mean by that, a new updated bracketology just released in the last half an hour or so. The one seeds for Lunardi at this moment: Auburn, of course, the number one overall seed. Duke, the number one overall, or a number one seed as well. Florida and Alabama, something to pay attention to. Now, that is also what you have done so far based on resume and what is projected at the end. As we shared, entering yesterday on FanDuel, Houston was greater than a $2 favorite at minus 210 to be on the one line, then won out, beat Texas Tech on the road, 69-61, covering as a road favorite in Lubbock, continuing their 13-game road win streak, the longest active road winning streak in the country, and clinched their second consecutive Big 12 regular season crown in their 2 years in the league. And yet, Joe Lunardi does not have the Cougs on the one line. Alabama, that plus 130 price is maybe something to pay attention to, because Donnie, I think as you highlighted there, Alabama, with all that lays ahead of this Crimson Tide team down the stretch of this regular season, and of course expecting a run in the SEC tournament, they have a ton of big marquee wins that could loom on the docket for the Tide.
Yeah, and again, what we're saying here is there's a lot to be played out throughout the rest of the regular season. Also understand this. Like, if you look at the conference breakdown of who he anticipates getting into the tournament, the SEC has 16 teams. 13 of those teams expected to make the NCAA tournament, which is outstanding. Like, even if you take a look at the Big Ten has 18 teams. Still getting 10 in is incredibly crazy, but 13 in the SEC just goes to show you how much this conference as a basketball conference has grown over the past decade here, where now we're talking about teams like on the bubble. You now get the benefit of the doubt. Remember, it was always the ACC would get the benefit of the doubt. Only expected to get four teams in here. So when you look at Carolina, it's like, can they make it or not? It's no longer saying like, boy, they run the gauntlet of the ACC, and maybe the record isn't as good as another conference, but they play in the SEC. That's your chip to play. Now that SEC has that chip to play here. So for me, coming down the stretch, wins and losses weighted equally, whereas you have a schedule like Alabama. Like, if you go over the final four games 2-2, that is a miracle. You might be knocking off the one team, the five team, the four team, the top 14 team. You might be losing to the one or the three team here in that notion. So for me, I want to watch it play out. But the one thing I do understand here is how good the SEC has been. And anytime you're going to have an SEC team battling for a one seed, it's going to get the nod over any other conference out there for me, Ben.
And DRS, as you share, that schedule for Alabama that begins tonight with a top 25 tilt against a Mississippi State team that is struggling. This is the only game the Crimson Tide, at least projected right now, expected to win. A road game against Tennessee, Ken Pom predicts a Vols win by 6 points. A home game against Florida, who is currently a one seed, would be a 1 point home loss for the Crimson Tide. We'll see how that ends up a week from tomorrow. And then to end the year on the road on the Plains against Auburn. But if they can defy the odds and win those games, I mean, just stack up the resume through and through. Yeah. It would be difficult to keep the Crimson Tide off that one line. Let's not only just talk who will be a one seed, but of course those national championship prices that go with it. Because right now, Auburn, still the favorite, plus 340. Duke, plus 370. Houston, plus 750. And Florida, a 9-1 number. Much like yesterday, those were the four teams around the country with a three-digit price to cut down the nets 6 weeks from yesterday in San Antonio and win a national championship. This stat, courtesy of Will Warren at Stats by Will on Twitter, does some great college basketball research. He called it a fun fact. I would say it is very fun. You have to go back to 2015 to find the last national champion in the men's NCAA tournament, Duke, who was sixth overall, who wasn't top five in KenPom on February 24th of a given year. Pretty strong trend to have that be the case for eight consecutive national championships. So who were those top five teams? According to Kenneth Pomeroy yesterday, Duke 1, Auburn 2, Houston 3, Florida 4, in Tennessee, 5. The only team not featured in that list, of course, would be Alabama at a 12-1 price to win the national championship. 5th best number. Tennessee has the 6th best number at 15-1, rather.
Yeah, and you're looking also at those net ratings that we love to look at, too, with Duke at a 38 net rating, 3 clear almost of Auburn, which is pretty impressive. And again, we love the analytical stages that we can actually review now. It used to be, Ben, like back in the day, as we like to say, which was maybe 15 years ago, oh, look at the record. Do we think the conference is tough? But you have so many underlying metrics now that you can take a look at where you can say, hey, Duke really isn't that good in the ACC, or is Duke just so much better than the ACC that you have to weigh it out? Because right now, Ken Pom is telling you, you want a solid bet for March Madness, it's the Duke Blue Devils right now going away.
It is so crazy, DRS, that we have these trends that seem nonsensical in a tournament known as Madness, as Wilt Warren was providing right there. Does it mean that this trend is going to continue for a 9th consecutive year? Maybe not. But as we often say in handicapping, the trend is your friend. And if you want to be the person to stand in front of it, congrats to you to pick something to happen that hasn't in a very long time. Some of these things seem arbitrary. Some of them seem subjective, season over season. And yet they happen, and you scratch your head at why. It is a tournament known as Madness. It is a tournament where it requires you to be at your best, not for the 35 games you played throughout the regular season and into your conference slate, but on 6 nights throughout a 3-week run in March. And yet, you can date things back to like the week 6 AP poll and trying to be in the top 12 because the last 20 national champs have been in the top 12 of the week 6 AP poll. It makes no sense, Donnie, and yet it makes perfect sense if you follow those numbers.
Exactly. Yep. So just getting into which numbers do you like, Ben, is what we're trying to tell the people out there. If you focus on the right ones, hey, man, cash in some tickets. Let's go.
Absolutely so. We'll have those numbers for you, of course, on the other side of the break. And we'll talk the bubble. Might it burst for a few teams in the next few weeks? The odds and what the bracketologists have to say.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Some technical issues for Donnie Wrightside that almost seem to be too convenient. Until we get DRS back in the mix, let's continue to talk the NCAA tournament bubble for that men's bracket, about 2.5 weeks away from Selection Sunday. No make-miss NCAA tourney odds out just yet, but at the end of this previous weekend, yesterday throughout the afternoon, they were available on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Let's highlight 6 teams right here, right now, with their records, not exactly the full resume, and give you the associated number for said team to make it into the NCAA tournament field of 68. Arkansas and John Calipari playing a lot better basketball down this SEC stretch, winning a lot of games and being competitive even in their losses, trying to get onto the right side of the bubble. 16-11, minus 290 to make the big dance yesterday. Indiana, 16-11 after a huge rivalry home win and upset over Purdue, minus 128 to make the big dance. Nebraska had a very strong price yesterday with a golden quad one opportunity at home against Michigan and squandered that in an ugly offensive affair. Minus 405 to make yesterday for the Huskers. I bet you that price probably still in minus money, but not nearly as strong. UNC needs to keep stacking wins because they do not have many quad one victories. 18-11, they have won 4 straight. Road victory and cover as a 3.5-point favorite against Florida State last night in Tallahassee, but favored to miss the big dance yesterday at minus 225. Oklahoma got off to a stellar start this year. 13-0 in non-conference play, one of the 4 remaining unbeatens at the D1 level. As you can see there with the overall record, SEC play has not been nearly as kind, but still, as of yesterday, minus 128 to make the big dance. SMU has 20 wins. What Andy Enfield has done this year in Dallas is remarkable. But what SMU does not have in all of those 20 victories, a quad one win. It is why the odds makers had the Stangs at a minus 450 price to miss the tournament yesterday. Georgia 16-11, Ohio State 15-13, minus 146 to make the big dance. In Texas, 16-11, a minus 140 price to make the NCAA tournament. But as I told you, Joe Lunardi just released his latest bracketology bright and early on this Tuesday morning. Last four byes into the big dance, meaning firmly into the tournament field of 68. West Virginia, Texas, San Diego State, Ohio State, minus 146 price for the Buckeyes, despite just a 15-13 record, but good metrics in terms of their quad one and two victories. The last four in: Nebraska on the right side of the bubble, Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Wake Forest. First four out at the moment. North Carolina would be the first team out of the big dance, according to Joe Lunardi. Indiana, SMU, and Xavier, part of those first four teams on the wrong side of the bubble, that would see that said bracket bubble burst come selection Sunday. There is a lot that is going to change. But when you play in these high major conferences, not only to end out the regular season, three, four games perhaps remaining in your conference slate, but having those conference tournament possibilities, you have the opportunity to stack up quality wins, improve your metrics, rise up the net rankings, and make your way in to the tournament. I believe Donnie Wrightside is back with us here.
Yeah.
Let's get some confirmation on that. There is DRS. Glad to have you back, DRS. So as we look at the tournament bubble, there's a bunch of teams that will put on display for you here, DRS, that had some minus money prices to get into the big dance yesterday. The two teams that did not, favored to miss, would be the two teams out of the ACC in North Carolina and SMU.
Yeah, I mean, again, there's still so much basketball left to be played. And the thing that we do love about this is even when you're playing at the high major spots is you have a couple games remaining on your schedule. You know, there's going to be maybe some easy wins, maybe some tough ones, but you can really make that run putting three to four victories together in your conference tournaments to sort of bolster it. The one thing that is going to be interesting is we understand, as much as we love the level of competition, and for me, like the mid-majors, we get angry every year when a really good mid-major gets left out for a team like North Carolina when maybe you don't think they deserve it. But the eyeballs deserve to be in March Madness. It's how these teams get paid. And also, it's how these teams' fan bases buy tickets here. That does go into it. So we'll find out a lot over these teams over the final parts. But Arkansas is an interesting one. Again, in the SEC, how many teams are getting in? They just might be left out because how many can you actually put in the SEC?
Arkansas playing a lot better, though, as of late. After that Kentucky win, and including it, they have won four of their last seven, covering in six of those seven. Our third and final hour up next.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to five pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.